Welcome to the CFSA podcast series. I'm Tim Murphy, Executive Director of CFSA, and your host. Each episode, we bring you an interview with someone on the leading edge of business and innovation in our industry. Today, we are honored to welcome Justin Thacker, Director of Manufacturing at Thacker Caskets and CFSA's incoming president for 2022-23. We'll be talking about his own background and experience in the industry, as well as his vision for the association for the coming year. Welcome, Justin.
Thanks, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing fine. It's a terribly rainy, gray day outside, and I'm just kind of waiting on sunshine to move in. But I guess that's just the way that the early spring is in the Midwest. So we'll just have to deal with that. Yep. Of course, we're all excited about conference coming up next month. That's going to be a really good one. So everyone is sort of all jazzed up about that right now. But let's get down to business here for our listening audience. Thacker Caskets is well known in the association and the wider industry. But for anyone who may not know you, can you tell us a little bit about your background and what made you decide to go into the family business?
Yeah, certainly. So for those of you that don't know, Thacker Caskets, we're a family-owned and operated casket supplier servicing primarily the eastern half of the U.S. The business was started back in 1939, and I'm a member of the third generation of the business. Looking back throughout the growth of the company, my grandfather, who started the business, passed away when my father was quite young. He had just graduated high school at the time. And at that time, my grandmother kind of took the reins of the business, and my father decided not to attend college and instead focus on running the family business. Had some challenging years after my grandfather's passing, obviously, but after that, they really kind of, you know, focused on what they wanted to do to grow the business, to serve more funeral home customers. And over the course of the next probably 15 or 20 years, really dedicated their whole lives into growing the business. At that time, when my grandfather passed away, we had one location in Washington, D.C., servicing about 120-mile radius around the D.C. metro area. But it wasn't until in the early 90s and early 2000s that they really began to grow the business. So like many people in the industry, I kind of grew up around the business. As a child, in summer after school, I would go in and go to work with my father, wake up early, ride in with him. And ever since I can remember, really, probably 8, 9, 10 years old, would go in, work every summer with him. Started off in the warehouse primarily and learning how to load caskets and unload caskets and load trucks. And eventually, when I got to turn 16, I began delivering caskets to our funeral home customers. So it was a very, you know, beneficial way to grow up in any business, whether it's a funeral home owner who grew up in their business or myself who grew up in our casket business. You learn every facet of the business, whether it's taking out the trash or whether it's loading a truck or delivering to a customer, you get to learn the whole gamut. And as a kid, my father and grandmother never forced us into the business at all. Actually, when I was probably in high school, we had a conversation, and the conversation basically was, you know, if you want to pursue a career in the business, we'd love to have you. But, you know, if you want to go become a lawyer or do something else that is more interest to you personally, that's, you know, completely up to you. You know, we're going to be here to support you, whatever you do. You know, the only thing my dad ever told me was whatever you decide to do is make sure you work harder than the competition at whatever that is. Whether you're an accountant or whether you're selling caskets, you need to work harder than everybody else. And if I did that, he'd always be proud of me. So it was at that time I knew I wanted to be in the family business. He had a very similar conversation with my two sisters and gave us that same opportunity to either do our own thing or come into the business. And I knew from a very young age I wanted to be in the business. I couldn't imagine working for somebody else for my whole life. I appreciate some of the things that being a business owner affords to the people in the business. You can make decisions, you can drive change, you can run things the way you want things run and keep an eye out for our customers' best interest. So As far as my young background, I guess that would be kind of the long and short of it. Currently, I, as you said, oversee our manufacturing facility in Florence, Alabama, but I also live in Maryland. So a lot of my time is spent on the customer service side, the routing and the logistical side. But between myself, my father, and my two sisters, Sarah and Danielle, we each have our own area of expertise. I primarily oversee the factory, whereas my younger sister oversees the distribution and logistics, and my older sister, Danielle, oversees the sales and the sales representatives and training the sales representatives. So that's kind of where we're at today, at least.
Well, it seems like what you're doing is working. So keep it up. You folks have done well, and you've got a great product. And so I'm glad that the company has grown as well as it has over the years. What is it about your role in this great industry and Thacker Caskets that makes you get up in the morning and look forward to your day?
Well, for me, I think in this business, particularly in the casket side of this industry, I love the challenge and the competitive nature of the business. This industry is one where there are a certain number of caskets that will be sold every single year in this country, and that number changes from year to year. But for every casket that we grow every year is a casket that we've worked hard to take from one of our competitors, is what it comes down to. We pride ourselves on being family owned and operated. We pride ourselves on putting our customers first. And if a customer does need something on a weekend or after hours or late at night, we're the ones that are always going to answer the phone and help them any way we can. I'm proud of the products that we make and the value benefits our products present over perhaps maybe our competition. But for me, what I like is the challenge, the fact that we're competing against some very, very large companies and a lot of smaller companies as well. But each of those competitors present their own set of challenges, and it's our job to wake up every day and try and make the best value proposition for our customers, whether it comes down to service, quality, pricing, whatever it is.
Those are some excellent points. And it reminds me when you talked about the, you're competing against large companies and smaller companies. But what I find really, really a fun thing really is that even though you're all competitors, you're all CFSA members and all part of that same family. So that's a really interesting dynamic that you are competing against each other in the marketplace, yet you come together as colleagues and share knowledge. And I think that that's probably one of the beauties of CFSA and associations like us. Okay, Justin, now this is where I'm going to ask you to pull out your crystal ball. Of the industry trends that you identify now, which ones will stay and which ones will go?
Well, Tim, that's a great question. I don't personally see too many, quote, flash in the pan ideas out in the marketplace today. I think for the most part, every trend or everything that's on the market today has a consumer that's looking for it. We're not an industry where we can just produce things and the consumer not be drawn to them or see value in them. So I don't know how many trends will go away. I think one thing that will always be true as far as this industry is concerned is that we will continue to see more and more change at an exponential rate than what we've seen in the past. You know, I can look at our product line just as a casket supplier, and for the most part, a good chunk of our product line has been in the product line for a generation and a half. I mean, 30 years. Everybody has a white shaded copper 18 gauge round end with a pink interior and a flower in the head panel. I mean, it's an industry staple that everyone's had. But I think as consumers continue to change and continue to evolve, especially when it comes towards cremation and the rising rate of cremation, I think funeral homes and suppliers are going to have to adapt. I think looking back on CFSA, it was for a long time, it was the Casket Manufacturers Association. And just as CFAs changed and evolved to include more diverse group of members, whether it be cremation supply companies or ancillary products that consumers are purchasing today to go along with their memorial service, you know, we've got to continue to evolve and change along with the consumer. For me, I see cremation continuing to grow, and I see cremation as, even though we're a casket supplier and that's where the majority of our business comes from, I still see the growth in cremation as an opportunity for us. You know, so the question becomes, how can Thacker deliver the best and most innovative products for today's consumers, no matter whether they want a burial or a cremation? And that's, you know, obviously a lot of our time and effort has been put into making sure our products align with those consumer trends. So to answer your question, I don't know which ones will really go away. I think there's a lot of good products and services out in the market, but I do think that it will continue to change at a more rapid pace than perhaps the industry has seen in the last 20 or 25 years.
Well, it's been said that the only thing constant in this life is change. So right. I think you kind of hit that right on the head. Now, your time as president will include ushering CFSA into its 110th year, 2023. As you look at where the association is at this moment in its history, what are you excited to see us doing? And what is it something that you would want to do, either create or change?
That's a great question. So, yeah, I've been lucky enough to serve on the board of CFSA for two different cycles, going back as far as probably, I guess, 6 or 7 years ago. And I think that the association has gone through quite a bit of change, but I think all those changes have been to the benefit of the association. The number of members that we have, and more importantly, the diversity of the members that we have in terms of what they do within the industry, really brings a lot of value and opportunity for the existing membership as well. You mentioned before, Tim, that, yeah, we all compete with one another, or several companies compete with each other within the industry and within CFSA, but really where CFSA brings a value, at least for me and for my organization, is being able to share ideas and have that sense of camaraderie. You know, we all do the same thing every day, whether it's me or a competitor. We all are trying to get as much business as we can, but the get-togethers at CFSA, the conventions, are really the chance for us all to kind of sit down and enjoy each other's company. You know, we all have to have a relationship with one another, and that's really what CFA brings the most amount of value to us as a member. You know, how can I walk away from my trip to CFSA's convention and learn something, maybe from a competitor or from another supplier? I haven't gone to a CFSA convention before and thought to myself, you know, I didn't really gain much. I've always walked away with either a new vendor contact, or perhaps it was a different way of thinking about how we run our business, whether it's from a operational standpoint, a manufacturing standpoint. There's always information to be shared, gathered, and learned. And I think when you look at CFSA, we want to continue that sense of camaraderie. Sure, we compete, but there's also a time to sit down, have a good time, and share stories from the previous year and share notes as well.
And that's exactly what we're looking forward to doing next month at the conference. And of course, I'm not going to see you before then, but I will get to see you then, and that'll be a good time. Now, this is a question that all of our listeners really like to hear our experts answer. So I'm going to lay this one on you. What is it that you know now that you wish you knew when you started your career?
That's a great question. So, you know, they say hindsight's 20/20, right? I guess that's what this question's kind of getting at. I would say for me, coming out of school and coming into the business, particularly in the role that I'm in, and I think a lot of our members are also in, whether it be in a management position or ownership position of their business, I think one thing that's important that I didn't know back then was that when anyone has an issue or a challenge or a problem, they're going to come to you. Even if that problem or issue may not be in your quote department, you know, it's your responsibility to wear many hats in the business. When I first got in the business, I had studied a lot of finance and accounting in college. And I was surprised that I didn't spend much time on finance and accounting when I got into the business. It was, you know, how can we help this customer? Or how can we help as far as marketing and making our company look more presentable to our customers? So although I had a focus in college at one particular facet of business, and it's an important facet, don't get me wrong, but the reality is when I got into the business, you realize you're not going to be just one part of the business. You're going to be marketing one day, you're going to be sales the next day, you may be manufacturing the next. So the ability to be able to switch different hats on or off, depending on what the issue of the day is really what I feel was the most unique part of getting into the business full time.
Everybody has those things that when they kind of go like that and say, oh my, I wish I would have known that 20 years ago. I wish I'd have known that 15 years ago. I have those moments a lot when I start to think about everything that we do day in and day out. If I would have known that 20 years ago, but some of those things, I would probably be extremely wealthy and retired by now. But
if it was easy, everyone would do it. But you know, at the same time, I love nothing more than being a part of a family-owned business. I mean, sometimes it's a challenge, and you feel like you do want to kind of beat your head against the wall, as you said. But at the same time, you can make decisions. You can actually drive change within the organization, obviously for the better. And those are the things that, you know, back to your question earlier, what makes you get up and be excited for the day? It's that opportunity that I have within this organization, and also, you know, trying to figure out a better way that we can service our customers. That's the biggest thing for us, is how can we be a better supplier? And I think that's what every company, whether it's a casket supplier, whether it's a urn supplier or a supplier to a casket supplier, everyone is trying to figure out what they can do to be the best supplier or vendor to their customers. And I think CFSA is an important part of that, at least for our organization, making sure that we're doing everything we can to be relative and be innovative.
Well, Justin, thanks so much for taking the time out of your busy day to be with us as you shared these experiences with us. By having our experts share their experiences and their insights, it really helps all of our members in their everyday business. And so that's why the CFSA members really find great value in these podcasts. So speaking of that, for our listeners, Justin and the rest of our new board and officers will be inducted as part of CFSA's annual conference and trade show at the JW Marriott in Indianapolis, April 25 and 26. Online pre-registration closes Friday, April 15th. So please be sure to register while you can at cfsaa.org/2022. Also remember, you can always get the latest episode of this podcast delivered directly into your feed by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon, or you can still find us on our website, cfsaa.org/podcast. For now, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you all in Indianapolis.